how ironic is it that I am speaking today about Be Not Afraid as I look out in a mostly empty sanctuary with not very many people here because we're afraid. Well, to be fair, it isn't really fear that is keeping us apart. It's wisdom, right? It's being prudent. It's making the right decisions to make sure that we protect ourselves and that we protect each other. And yet I don't have to tell you that fear is running rampant right now. I feel it every day. I'm quite sure you feel it as well. It's like this whole tidal wave of fear sort of washed over our planet and threatens to pull us all down under. And every day we witness what happens when we succumb to fear. From the stock market plunge to the panic buying of toilet paper, we see that when we give over to fear, that we lose our perspective, we lose our faith, we lose ourselves. We may even for a little while there lose our sanity. Toilet paper hoarding? I mean, really? Okay. Well, the scripture writers knew that we must overcome fear in order to grow spiritually. And it's that sentiment of do not be afraid is the most often repeated commandment in the Bible. You may not have known that. There are 365 scripture verses. That's one for every day of the year, except for leap year. One for every day of the year that said, in some fashion or another, to not be afraid. And 8 of those we can find in the New Testament specifically worded, be not afraid. One of the most familiar stories to us that includes that is the story told in the 6th chapter of John. Jesus' frightened disciples are out rocking around on this boat in a very, very stormy sea. And suddenly, they see Jesus coming toward them, said to be walking on the water. Well, that sight doesn't immediately calm them down. So as he gets closer, he says, "It is I. Be not afraid." And they invite him into the boat, and almost immediately thereafter, they very safely and easily reach the shore where they were heading. Well, the metaphysical lesson here is that if we're in a stormy time, if we're being all sort of tossed about in our lives, that we can invite in the presence of God, whatever that is to us, that abiding calm and presence. We can invite it into our lives through prayer or meditation or contemplation, through thinking about Jesus or a spiritual master. It's somehow inviting that presence in, and our fears will be quieted. Well, Jesus knew that if people are filled with fear, it's because they're obsessing about the future. They're conjuring up every possible what if, every scary worst case scenario. His message was basically this: stop wasting your time and energy with that. It's not doing you any good. You're creating a lot of suffering for yourself. You're creating a lot of suffering for others as well. A lot of that's an illusion. Most of it isn't going to happen. Come back to the present moment. He said, only now can we find God. Only in the present moment can we experience the kingdom of God. So much of his teachings and his exemplification of spirit was to bring people into the present moment so they could feel the bountiful abundance that is available to us right now. In the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, the complete Gospel of Mary Magdalene, Yeshua is sharing this teaching with his disciples, and he says this: "You will not find the Spirit by seeking in the past or looking to tomorrow. Only from the truth I tell you, the kingdom can only be found in what is before your face. See what is before you, and all that is hidden from you will be revealed to you. You know not the day nor the hour of your death. And there has never been born one who could extend his life by 1 hour by being in fear of tomorrow. Be on your guard against the prince of the world, which is how he refers to the ego. For he is darkness and the father of it, and would have you live in the bondage of your own fear. So he's telling us there that it is the ego that succumbs to fear. It's our small sort of false self, if you will, not our true nature. And he's also saying that the problem isn't just fear, that the problem occurs when we're living in fear. He talks about being in bondage to fear. And isn't it true, and haven't you experienced this in your own life, that you become filled with fear? It's like you've created a sort of a prison for yourself. You can be immobilized by that. You can be even paralyzed by fear. It doesn't have to be that way. If we're being ruled by fear, it's not because it's greater or stronger than we are. It's because we've given away our own power. You know, that scripture verse, it's absolutely uncanny that that was our daily word scripture verse today, because that was exactly the verse that I wanted to talk most about today. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. What incredible power we've been given. Think about that. We have the power to say no to fear. We have the power to create our own reality every moment and every day. We have the power to create our own life experience by where we choose to put our focus and what we choose to tell ourselves. You know, over the past week, I've heard more dire predictions and scary stories than I can even count. You know, all you have to do is turn on the news for a minute, and it all just comes out like a deluge, right? You just suddenly you're just awash in all this scary stuff. But that's a pivotal moment right there. When you're standing there in front of your TV or sitting there, that's a pivotal moment. So what are you going to do with that? Are you going to take all of that in and make that your entire reality? Are you going to freak yourself out? Is that going to be your, you know, where you're going to choose to live? In that, you'll feel it in your body, man. Or are you going to kind of keep a little bit of centeredness there as you're watching and listening to what's being said and extract from it? Maybe there's a few things, a few pieces of information of value to you, a rule or a guideline, something like that. And then turn it off and go on to live your life. You see, we can only live one moment at a time. The other day I heard a medical authority say, well, we're just at the very beginning of this. If this were a marathon, we would have only completed mile one. Did anybody else hear this? We've only completed mile one. We still have 25 more miles to go. And I thought to myself, why do I need to know that? maybe I was just being a little cynical. Watching too much TV, but why do I need to know that? Okay, I get it that this could go on for a while, but why do you have to keep emphasizing that over and over again? So that I won't have false hope? So that I won't be encouraged or optimistic? Well, no thank you. And what marathon runner would ever adopt that attitude of saying, oh my God, I've only run 1 mile. I have 25 more to go. I don't think I'm going to make it. Well, no. After the first mile, you say to yourself, hey, I got the first mile under my belt. That's one less that I have to run now. You say, I did it. Now I'm going to keep going. With the next step and the next and the next. And let's remember that marathon runner is surrounded by other people on the same course. And they're cheering each other on, and they're lifting each other up, and they're sharing smiles and encouragement with each other. They're celebrating every little victory. They're telling them, you can do it. I'm here with you. We're going to be okay, right? They kind of settle in as a group, whether they're physically together or not, and they keep going. Step by step. Stride by stride. You see, things are changing so fast right now. They're changing by the minute, and they're changing by the day. And we don't know what things are going to be like tomorrow, or next week, next month, or next year. But we can still make the most of today. And we can know, we can have faith that we'll know what to do when tomorrow comes. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't be aware. I'm just saying don't lose yourself in the fear. And I have incredible faith. I actually feel a little excited about this because I know there are just so many amazing ways that human ingenuity is going to kick in now. Don't you know this? That ways people are going to come up with, they are already, for us to stay connected, for us to help each other, for us to get through this. Not only get through it, but find joy, still find love, and that spirit of being together. And it's happening already. Maybe you've seen some of the news reports in Italy, where people singing from their balconies to keep their spirits up. And in Spain, there was an exercise class offered. It must be like down in a plaza or something like that, so that the people who were quarantined on their balconies could participate. And in Canada, there's a group that started like 30 Facebook groups with 30,000 members participating. And they're working together to identify the people who are in the most vulnerable population, those who are at the highest risk of this virus, to reach out to them, to get them food if they need it, to get them, you know, to a medical care, whatever it might be. And the person organizing that effort says, "We decided to change scaremongering to caremongering." Ah, that's good. Yeah. You know, as awful as this pandemic is, as big as it is, cataclysmic, it's still going to bring blessings. It is. We're already seeing that. Already it's giving us the opportunity to stop running all the time, to stop doing all the time, to remember what it's like to simply be, to look around and see things with new eyes. I mean, honestly, when I walked in the church this morning, I could just be like staring at the faces of the people who were here, like, man, you just look so beautiful. This is so great to see a human face. Not, I love your Stuart Church. I'm not saying that.
Not a human face.
But it is. It's deepening our appreciation of life and nature and each other. It's teaching us to be grateful. And that in itself is a very powerful spiritual practice. Gratitude. Gratitude. There's no quicker way, more effective way to stem the tide of fear and anxiety than to be grateful. Really find the blessings. Just look for them. They're there. You know, I've seen them already. I have to tell you, I've felt so filled with gratitude this week, going through this week, being in touch with people virtually, of course. But, oh, we are such a strong community, and we are so connected. And the love and the caring and the reaching out to one another has just been so beautiful and so evident. I hope you've felt that as well. Beautiful things, beautiful people doing great, great work. And we can extend beyond our own community to appreciate the larger community, like in our opening prayer, those who are going above and beyond to serve us right now. But we can also just notice. And I had one congregant send me a little note. She said she'd been outside for a while. She went for a walk. And she said, you know, you can notice a difference. You can notice a difference that people... She said, people are keeping their distance, but they're looking at each other, and they're smiling and saying hello as they pass by. Such a little thing, right? Others have been telling me about having a similar experience, feeling this little shift that's happening out there, the silver lining, if you will, the blessing. And B. Clendenin was telling me about going down to Chick's Beach and just her heart just feeling so filled up with the beautiful sights and the sounds there. And by golly, at the end of the evening, one of the residents there put on an impromptu fireworks display for the people who were around. The blessings are there. And as we look for them, they multiply. Remember what we teach in unity, what we appreciate appreciates. So start looking for that. Live in the present, mindful of course, precautions, etc., but make the most of right now because there's so many gifts for us there. And with that in mind, I'd like to close with this amazing, I think very inspiring and beautiful poem that was written by an Irish priest named Richard Hendrick. It's been posted on Facebook. He's writing from Dublin. He's writing already about these, sort of the silver linings, if you will, the blessings coming our way. His poem is called Lockdown. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds again. They say that after just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but blue and gray and clear. They say that in the streets of Assisi, people are singing to each other across the empty squares, keeping their windows open. So that those who are alone may hear the sounds of a family around them. They say that a hotel in the west of Ireland is offering free meals and delivery to the homebound. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her number through the neighborhood so that the elders may have someone to call on. Today, churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples are preparing to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, the weary. All over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbors in a new way. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality, to how big we really are, to how little control we really have, to what really matters, to love. So we pray and we remember that, yes, there is fear, but there does not have to be hate. Yes, there is isolation, but there does not have to be loneliness. Yes, there is panic buying, but there does not have to be meanness. Yes, there is sickness, but there does not have to be disease of the soul. Yes, there is even death. But there can always be a rebirth of love. Wake to the choices you make as to how to live now, today. Breathe. Listen behind the factory noises of your panic. The birds are singing again. The sky is clearing. Spring is coming. And we are always encompassed by love. Open the windows of your soul. And though you may not be able to touch across the empty square, sing. Let's turn now to our meditation. Wherever you are in this moment, I invite you to set aside whatever may be around you. Create a little sacred space for yourself. Close your eyes and take a deep breath in. Release and let go. Feeling yourself supported in this moment by love, by life, by God. Breathing in deeply once again as you let go, allow yourself to truly let go, to relax, to release, to put it all aside. I invite you to bring into your mind's eye our beautiful planet Earth. Continuing to spin on its axis. out there in space. This beautiful blue and green home of ours. Feel your heart wrap around it. Feel your love go out to every inhabitant on our shared home. Feeling that reassurance that we're all in this together, and that the love and support, the right action will show up in the right and perfect way. I invite you to breathe into your oneness with all of life and all humanity in this moment. And listen for what is yours to notice, and what ways you can live more fully now, and appreciate your blessings. Listen for your guidance in the silence. Within us of new life, new possibilities, is stirring up within us of hope, gratitude, and yes, even joy. Going forward from this moment, mindful of our oneness and infused with the love of God. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Unity Renaissance.